You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Every year, the EPA awards over $4 billion in grants and other means of assistance. Within hours of President Trump taking the oath of office, an email went out to EPA officials ordering them to freeze all contract and grant awards effective immediately. So would that affect federal aid to Flint? Senators Debbie Stabenow, Gary Peters, and Flint's Congressman Dan Kildee put that question to President Trump in a letter they sent to the White House. Congressman Dan Kildee is with us now. It took a lot of heavy lifting, Congressman, to get that aid approved last month by Congress. How much are we talking about?
Well, it's $170 million in this total package, $100 million directly for Flint's infrastructure, some other support for health and development, and creating a registry for the people who have been affected. It was a significant amount of money, and that's why we were so concerned when President Trump made this pronouncement. Not only did he put a halt to EPA grants, but he also prevented EPA from making any announcements or sharing information, and that, of course, raised a lot of alarm bells for us. We're now starting to get indications, some reassuring indications, that the fund through which the Flint infrastructure money will flow will not be held up. But there are other aspects of EPA's support for Flint that could be. So we're still a little bit anxious about this, but some reassurance that the money that we appropriated late last year will still be on its way to Flint.
And I'm sure there has to be concerns if I'm someone living in Flint and I want some information. You've got to be wondering, can an EPA official release that information under these tighter new rules?
Well, yeah, that was one of the concerns I had about the gag rule that the president put on the EPA. I mean, one question I had is whether that would prevent the EPA from fulfilling its obligation under the new Kildee-Upton law that says that if the EPA knows about lead or copper in a water system and it's not public, the EPA has to go public within 24 hours. If they can't issue press releases, if they can't issue statements, can they comply with their obligation under the law to keep people safe by giving them the information that they need? You know, obviously the Flint money is our core concern, but this approach that the president is taking is very concerning.
Have you had any response from the White House?
Not directly from the White House, although there was a statement that was allowed to be released by an EPA official that gave some assurance that the Clean Drinking Water Revolving Loan Funds, which is the path through which the Flint grant passes, will continue to be administered. But we're looking for a specific and direct response from the White House to provide complete clarity.
And have you been able to have any direct communication with people in the EPA since the inauguration?
Not directly, no. That's part of the difficulty. Our staff has talked to the regional staff at the EPA. We have good relationships there, but we haven't had a formal response from them, but we worked with these folks for a year and a half, so I think there's some trust there. And our hope is that those folks who were doing a really good job won't be prevented from continuing to do that job.
We have seen past administrations come in and put temporary freeze on contracts and grants in the past to give everything going over. Is that right?
That's true. And of course, that's where it was a little confusing the way President Trump singled out EPA and specifically not only prevented them from going forward on new contracts, but appropriations of Congress, you know, that's a legislative initiative. That's a legislative prerogative. We don't believe the president should have the authority to prevent those dollars from being expended. But it was made more difficult by the president also basically preventing people across departments from issuing any sort of statements. Those statements could be reassuring communities like Flint that are really concerned about whether the freeze that he has announced could affect help that is headed their way. So it was the combination of the two that really got our attention.
I got to ask you, Congressman, this kind of thing we're talking about, the gagging federal employees, now we're seeing alternate rogue Twitter feeds popping up from different, particularly scientific federal agencies, or the president's fixation about the size of his inauguration and his surrogates pushing inaccurate facts as alternative truths. I got to wonder, what are you hearing from your colleagues on the Hill about this? Not so much the policy, but the behavior.
Well, it's bizarre. I mean, there's no two ways to put it. I could try to be more diplomatic, but know, the way the president approaches his job is very unusual. This obsession with false facts, with what now, you know, alternative facts, I guess they're coming up with, about the size of the crowd at the inauguration. I've been to 6 inaugurations. I know just from my own experience, his crowd was about half the size of President Obama's. Fine, he's still president. I mean, what's the big deal? He seems to have an obsession about these sorts of things. You know, there are other concerns. The way he's describing the voter turnout in the election results, the assertion that 5 million Americans cast votes illegally, there's no evidence to support that at all. And now he wants to launch a major investigation. My view is if he wants to investigate the election process in America, have at it, but just make sure you're also investigating efforts that Republicans have used every election that I can recall to try to suppress voter turnout in Democratic performing areas. If they want to go at that issue and be honest and open about it, have at it. But he shouldn't use the government as a source of capacity to buffer his apparently weakened ego. He's the president of the United States. Someday, he's got to grow up and accept the fact that he has huge responsibilities that go beyond making himself feel good every day.
What are you hearing from Republican colleagues? Are they sharing misgivings?
Privately, absolutely. Just as they did during the campaign, they're sharing those misgivings privately. Here's what I hope, I pray, that if a moment occurs where his embrace of falsehoods goes beyond stroking his own ego and could have some impact on real public policy questions or the safety of the country or the planet, that those Republicans who are privately sharing their concerns will have the courage to stand up and challenge him directly. I hope that the necessity for that does not come to pass, but if it does, we are going to be depending on reasonable Republicans, thoughtful Republicans, of which there are many, who are willing to put their duty to country and their loyalty to their country and their constituents ahead of the president or of their party.
Just circling back to Flint, if for some reason that money is either slow to come to Flint or doesn't come at all, how would you be able to respond?
I would go to my Republican colleagues who worked very closely with me. 101 of them voted for the amendment that I and John Molinar offered to provide Flint funding. I would go to them and ask them to join me in pushing the president to support what was a bipartisan effort to deal with this critical problem and to try to not, you know, fall into the typical pattern of turning it into a partisan question. The solution back in 2016 was bipartisan, and if it is threatened, I hope that the support for that initiative would continue to be a bipartisan effort.
Flint Congressman Dan Kildee, thank you so much for being with us, Congressman.
Thank you very much.